Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, years ago, there was a Sesame Street short that involved a few kids playing on the steps of a stereotypical New York neighborhood, and they were playing a game of jacks. All was fine until the next kid up scattered the jacks with a little too much gusto, and one ended up down the drain. Play stopped. The kids tried in vain to recover their valuable jack. Then, in a flash of inspiration, one of the kids produced a magnet and a string from their pocket, quickly tied the two together, and lowered the magnet down into the drain. And there the magnet sat alongside the jack in the dark and dirty drain, and then with a few tugs of the string, the magnet connected to the jack, and the two stuck together. Held tight in that magnetic bond, the kids were able to successfully pull their lost jack up from the drain. The closing shot of the short, if I recall, was of the jack rising up from the depths of the drain into the hands of the kids, who celebrated by continuing their game on the sidewalk in that stereotypical New York neighborhood. I want you to keep that image tucked in your mind as we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension. You'll notice that in our readings for this evening, both in Luke and Acts, you, the hearer, are presented with a short story, with images of Jesus in action. Jesus speaks to his disciples, confirming their role as witnesses of his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus is lifted from their sight as he bodily ascends into heaven until the clouds obscured the vision of the disciples and they saw him no more. Angels are there and they speak a word that has yet to be fulfilled when they said, "This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." These are the historical facts. These are the written account, the story of what the disciples heard and witnessed concerning not only the ministry, the death, the resurrection, but now also the bodily ascension of Jesus into heaven. So what does that have to do with the Sesame Street short? Well, hold on, we'll get there. If Luke and Acts provide us with the account of the witnesses, the passage from Ephesians gives us the significance of that story. I mean, much like the small catechism, Paul's writing to the churches in Ephesus gives us the answer to the question, what does this mean? Well, the answer comes in the form of a prayer. Paul prays for the saints, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, right? That's faith, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So what does the ascension mean? What is significant about this event? Well, St. Paul identifies that the ascension of Jesus is crucial for the hope of the church. He identifies that this hope is wrapped up in the power Jesus exerts over sin and death for us. He identifies the ascension as the coronation of Jesus as King of all the kings and Lord of all the lords. And he identifies that rather than being separated from his church, Jesus is in fact more present with his church now than in his earthly ministry. Now let's go back to Sesame Street. It's an imperfect analogy for sure, but the image of the jack falling down the drain brings to mind humanity's fall into sin. Creation was created to be very good, but Adam's sin cast it down the drain. Where creation was to be ever in the near presence of its creator, in the fall, well, it's fallen away from God. And it would have remained in the drain, ready to be washed away forever, if not for the Creator's desire and plan to save it. And to save it, he descended to where his creatures were. This we celebrate in the season of Advent and Christmas. God descends to earth to save his creation. He descends further into our sin and confirmed to be our Savior in his baptism in the Jordan. He preaches and teaches, calling sinners to repentance and to live in faith to him as he announces the inbreaking of God's kingdom here and now. He suffers, he dies, he rises victorious over death and the devil. And 40 days after the historical fact, he also ascends bodily. But as he ascends, he brings the church with him. Like a magnet, he draws humanity up from sin and death so that those who believe in him are united with him in a bond that not even death can break. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that at the ascension of Jesus, the church is also bodily transferred to heaven to be with him. That's not what I'm saying because it's not what the scriptures are saying. The ascension of Jesus points us again to the hope that we have, trusting that by faith, here and now, we are his forgiven people, united to him in a bond that death cannot break. In this present age, his word and his promises are sure. He is with us, even to the very end of this age, by his power and his authority. He fills us with his body and blood, with his word and with his spirit. Here and now, Jesus is reigning as the king who is present with his people to serve and to save, to comfort and to defend. See, here's the thing. This hope goes beyond here and now. It is true that Jesus rises our lives spiritually to be with him already. For already we enjoy the blessings of his presence with us by word and spirit. But indeed, there's more. Still yet to come is the descent of our Lord once again. Only not this time in humility to fish us out of the drain. No, when he bodily descends from heaven, as the angels have said, it will be in glory. He will draw our bodies up out of the grave. Or if we are yet alive in the flesh, he will draw us to himself and in the twinkling of an eye bring to completion the work that he has already begun in your baptism. St. Paul says it like this: "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, they will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord." Jesus will raise us, body and soul. Jesus will remain united to us, body and soul. Jesus will be seen as the King of kings and the Lord of lords because in his power and might, he has raised us up from sin and death. He has ransacked the devil's domain and delivered us into his kingdom. He has paid the ransom price with his blood, and we are his. When you think of the ascension of our Lord, I hope that you will have in your mind the image of the Lord coming down from heaven to lift his church up out of the drain. And I hope that you will always see that he did this for you. For you, he descended. For your sin, he died. For your justification, he rose. For your sanctification, he lives. And for your resurrection, he will return. With this in mind, I want you to listen to St. Paul as he writes in Romans chapter 8. I want you to listen and hear now how significant the ascension of Jesus is for all who believe. St. Paul says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who has raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." See, here's the thing. Jesus keeps his promise. He sends the Holy Spirit, and he fills all in all. So then, brothers, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. If you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. That is to say, although we do not currently see Jesus with the eyes of our flesh, we should not live as if Christ is not present, but we should live as those who have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God and live as his children. Paul goes on to talk about our lives here and now. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time or this present age, they're not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we are saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we await for it with patience. And so here and now, we experience suffering, but oh, we are not alone in our sufferings. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Christ Jesus himself, in the presence of the Father, intercedes for us. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Like a magnet for our bodies and our souls, Jesus draws us to himself, and he does not let go. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long, we're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is what the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ means for us and for all creation. Thanks be to God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until we see him face to face. Amen.